Hello and welcome to the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb. Brighton and Hove's community radio station, broadcasting on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com everywhere in the world. And also, this programme is available to listen to again or download and share and all those things you can do with podcasts at oneworldcommunityshow.podomatic.com. And after a somewhat extended Christmas winterval break, the show is back to its proper format with actual real people in the studio talking about interesting and important subjects, which is great. And I'm very pleased this week to welcome two people to the studio. Pat Bowen from the CD Sunday Organising Committee. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
Hello, it's really good of you to come along. At least the weather's not too bad today, it has been worse. But also, someone who's been before, Chris Todd. Chris, and I'm not exactly sure who you are here on behalf of at the moment. Hello, Chris.
Hello, I'm here from behalf of the Biosphere Partnership.
The Biosphere Partnership, indeed. And you may be wondering what that is, but Chris is going to tell us as we go along. It's something to do with the South Downs National Park. Is that the case?
It involves the South Downs National Park, but it's much broader than that.
OK, well, we're going to be talking to Pat and Chris on the show today. And we're also, as you might expect, going to have music from Brighton and Hove, but perhaps more around the world these days. I've been neglecting the world in the musical sense. So we're going to put that right on this show. There's also going to be some news about community events and activities in Brighton and Hove. Well, a few more. But anyway, well, let's get going. Well, since we've got these two great guests in the studio, actually live on Sunday, the 27th of January, I believe it is, let's start off talking to Pat. And you, I believe, are the chair of the CD Sunday Organising Committee. Am I right?
That's right, yes.
Am I right? Indeed. Well, thank you very much and welcome to the One World Community Show. I do apologise if I sound a bit funny, but I've still got this terrible cold. Anyway, I hope the germs won't reach across to that side of the studio.
I've got germs of my own. Thank you, Donald.
Okay, well,
yes.
We can be swapping in there. Oh, yes. Swap, germ swap. But no, we're here to talk about the CD Sunday seed swap.
Yes.
Now, the listener at home, you may have heard of this because it's kind of institution now in Brighton. This time of year, on a Sunday, for the last, is it 12? Neither of us are clear whether it's 12 or 13 years.
It's one of those.
It is. But I do know, by looking on the CD Sunday website, that it's the biggest and the longest-running community seed exchange in the country, in the UK.
Yes, that's right. 12 or 13 years ago, one of the members of the Brighton and Hove Organic Gardening Group went to a seed swap in Canada, where I think that's where they began. Except, of course, they've gone on informally since time immemorial, but that's where an organised event happened, and she came back full of the delight of it and got the organic gardening group to help set one up. And at that time it was in the building in Kemp Town that was called Kemp Town Pier, a very small building, and it gradually went to bigger. It went to the old market in Hove and then to Hove Town Hall. And what we really want to emphasise is that this year it is not in Hove Town Hall, it's in the Corn Exchange in central Brighton.
Indeed, and I think that how great is that? Because what an appropriate place to have a seed exchange. I mean, you don't have to just bring corn to swap exchange, any kind of seed, presumably.
Yes, that's right. I mean, there was a time when corn was actually exchanged there. But we...
Not in the same sort of way, because then it was like
it was
agricultural merchants.
Yes. This is horticulture.
Yeah.
And people are encouraged to bring seeds that they've saved from their gardens and their allotments and exchange with other gardeners. We also do have seed from seed companies that donate seed to us, because quite a few of the seeds that people want to grow are very difficult to save. And we are interested in developing our skills on that side of it. Some are really easy, like beans and peas and tomatoes. Anybody can save those, but some are more challenging. So part of our mission is to educate local gardeners to save as many seeds as they can.
And indeed, and now it's not just about, you know, being able to, having being a handy place to get your seeds ready for the new harvest. Seed swapping has got a serious or kind of a big issue involved with it, which is to do with sustainability and other things.
Food sovereignty is the sort of overall umbrella idea, which is that communities need to own and share amongst themselves and others, of course, their food supplies, their food their
sources,
yeah. Yes, and their marketing and so on. And if we allow the seed companies, the big corporate seed companies, to control all the seeds that we buy, that are bought and sold, they develop seeds, hybrid seeds, which grow plants, beautiful plants, all come out at once, but you can't save the seeds of them. The seeds don't come true. So we encourage people to save seeds that are pollinated in an open way. Don't hybridise in that sort of way. So the seeds develop according to the local conditions, and therefore grow plants that are diverse and adapted to local conditions, and are not grown just to put profit into the hands of corporations who want to make very uniform and commercially viable seeds. It's all about local ownership, local control of food supplies and sources, and it's part of that food sovereignty idea.
Interesting, but also perhaps quite radical and controversial. For such a sort of big and successful community event to have such, radical underpinnings, that's quite unusual. And it's also strange to see it being so successful, because it's grown and grown. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, last year there were thousands of people went to it.
Yes, and that it snowed that morning as well. And yet we still had, I think, 1,500 people who paid to come in. One of the strengths of it is, of course, the sponsorship from an Infinity Foods cooperative, who are very generous in their sponsorship and who've supported us all along. So it's part of that Brighton tradition of cooperative, sharing, radical activity.
And another good thing about it is the fact that it's very sort of broadly based and inclusive, and attracts a wide range of people. I can remember, I don't think I actually went to the one in what was the Kemptown Pier. It's amazing that you remember the Kemptown Pier. I used to go there back in whenever it was the 80s. Certainly at the old market, there was, you know, quite a wide spread of, from, you know, hippies and crusties to, you know, to sort of, traditional gardeners, you might say. All happily swapping seeds together.
Yes, that's right. I mean, gardening has that effect, doesn't it? You've got the old horticultural societies, people of all ages into gardening. You've got allotment holders now who cooperate and share allotments. Gardening just brings so many different people from different cultural backgrounds. Everybody needs food. Everybody wants to grow food, who values good, fresh, local food.
Well, that is very inspiring and interesting, and we will, on that note, take a pause and play some music. So Pat Bowen, the chair of the CD Sunday Organising Committee, thank you very much so far for being on the One World Community Show. And we will talk more about CD Sunday and the issues about food sovereignty and about why it's important to have your own food and grow it yourself in an organic way. But before we do that, let's hear some music. And I said I was going to play some music from other places. Now, you may have heard me muttering darkly about how the term world music is a bad thing. I tend to find it that sort of patronising and insulting to people from other countries, that all the different kinds of music and their great musical heritages and the modern innovations that they make should all be lumped in together in one thing, as if there is kind of proper music and then there's all this other weird foreign stuff that you can sort of say it's all the same. It annoys me quite a lot. Maybe more than it should. However, I'm going to play you some music now, in fact, from Colombia. And this, you might call this pop music, pop cumbia, you might say. I could be totally wrong, because there are so many different kinds of music from Colombia. This is, in fact, the theme tune to a TV soap opera, which is called Pasión de Gavilanes, or I think it's The Passion of Hawks. It's a very popular soap opera, or was. I'm not sure if it's still running. This is the theme tune. It was sung by Maria Ferreira, or Ferrero, I'm never quite sure. It's called A Restless Beast, or in the Spanish, Fiera Inquieta. And this is a kind of dance remix by a certain DJ Saeed. So here we go. So, that was the very beautiful Fiera Inquieta, or Restless Beast, I believe is a translation. You never know when things are translated on the internet. That was Angela Maria Ferreira, or Ferrero, from Colombia. And that was a remix, dance remix by DJ Saeed. I'm not sure who he is. But that was, as I said, the original pop version without the dance beats was the theme tune of the Pasión de Gavilanes soap opera in Colombia. And you can get that on the internet somewhere, but you have to look quite hard. There's the actual sort of the pop version is there, and I think you can see it on YouTube and all those different kind of places. But anyway, I rather like that. So this is the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb, Brighton and Hove's community radio station, 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area, and streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. And on the show today, we're going to be talking to Chris Todd from the Brighton Biosphere Partnership. Remember that, just about. And also Pat Bowen from the CD Sunday Organising Committee. And as we were saying, CD Sunday is happening next week on the 3rd of February in the Corn Exchange, the Brighton Corn Exchange, just next to the Dome, which is a great big place. Now, as well as having a seed community seed swap, where people are encouraged to bring along seeds that they might have saved from their own gardening, you can also buy seeds brought along by organic and rare seed heritage seed companies from a wide range of places. There's also lots of other things going on as well. I mean, there's kind of stalls of all kinds of green and, you know, is it all horticulturally related, or does it sort of spread even further now?
Well, we have to keep a sort of boundary on how far it spreads, but on the whole, yes, it's all horticulturally related or very, very green related. I mean, we've got somebody selling willow for basket making and making living willow structures. We've got people bringing seed potatoes. Infinity are bringing a whole range of heritage varieties of seed potatoes that you can't get commercially. We've got all sorts of local groups, the various Moorscombe Forest Garden groups and the Whitehawk Community Gardeners and all sorts of different groups who come and show what they do and bring their seeds to swap. The Organic Gardening Group are there, of course, and the different horticultural societies. We've got people selling a wonderful new type of compost made of charcoal, which is supposed to do amazing things in the ground, and they're showing that off. We've got...
Were there people who make show you how to do wood turning and stuff
yes,
like that?
Those folk are there. That's right, and people who make things for encouraging wild birds into your garden. There's lots about that: wildflower meadow sowing and encouraging wildlife in your garden, increasing biodiversity in your garden in every way. All those kinds of things are there.
Now, gardening, as we know, is one of the most popular things that people do in their spare time when they're not at work, and it has been for quite a while. Now, and that was in the past partly as a way of getting, you know, cheaper food you didn't have to pay for, but also a way of kind of a recreation, you know, and a sort of enjoyment. Probably it has been always been part of, you know, the way of life of people. People, you know, grew their own food. That was how people lived, you know, from way back. If you couldn't catch it, you had to grow it, or rear it, sort of thing, like with animals and things. But otherwise, you had to grow it. So that's what everyone did, and then, you know, so then obviously that carried on. But in the modern world, you know, now, you know, most people just go to the supermarket and get their food in a packet. Mm-hmm. But still, people do. So now it's more of a recreational kind of thing, and, you know, also making your environment pleasant. And but some people do say, you know, that your own homegrown food just tastes better. But CD Sunday, it seems like quite a lot of, you know, going quite a long way to organise a big event like this, you know, when, I mean, weren't people gardening quite happily before there was a CD Sunday? And, you know, so why is it so important to do it now? I mean, you did say it was all about food sovereignty. So that's simply that if we don't grow our own food, then, say, if, you know, something goes wrong to the world economy, at least we can feed ourselves.
Well, it is something along those lines about skills, learning how to grow our own food in such a way that we can keep the seed and develop plants which are really suited to where we're growing them, rather than being suited to some commercial operator's needs for profit. So it's about keeping that control. It's about biodiversity, because the more we save and swap the seeds, the more diverse are the plants, and therefore the more resilient they are. It relates to climate change in that way, because plants which are diverse in that way are more resilient. We'll find plants which are good at dealing with drought or good on chalk soil and that kind of thing. So it's keeping those skills within the community so that we learn and develop them, using scientific method, of course. We're not trying to go back to the dark ages. We want to use science as well with this, and to develop our own abilities. There's another aspect to this as well, which is that this event comes up in February every year, and it's a very low time for gardeners. We're all longing to be back out there and getting on with it. We can't, because the soil's too cold, it's too wet. You can do a bit of this and a bit of that, but coming together at this event is just, it's like the beginning of the season. It's a celebration of it's about to start, and we meet up with old friends, and we get our seeds and we swap our seeds and get new ideas from the speakers that we have, and it just kicks the season off.
Oh, actually, that reminds me, yeah, about there was a programme about the sort of people in the Andes Mountains in South America, and how they live high up on a mountain. It's really cold, and how they have a sort of festivals about the beginning of the season when everyone comes together. And it sounds like a similar sort of thing, but do you sort of all go out into the street and play music and drink lots of beer, which is what they do?
If only.
No, it's kind of more of an indoor thing, and,
yes.
And not so much beer drinking, I suppose. But a similar... So what you're describing sounds very much like what they were doing. I mean, that was like a sort of thing that went way back thousands of years, and but they still do. But now you were saying there about how the swapping of saving seeds grown in a local area was going to make the seeds more resilient, because they were sort of, you know, they grew originally in this environment and this climate. But now, this does sound to me, and you're also saying about how it's all about people having control of their own sort of food supply rather than big companies who are doing it for profit only. But wouldn't the companies, I mean, on our community radio license, sorry dear listener to be boring, but says that if anything's controversial, we have to have an alternative view. So I'm going to have to be the devil's advocate, so to speak, and put forward the view, as I have heard argued, and I'm not totally, you know, convinced that it's wrong. But what the seed companies would say is that surely over many, you know, years, going way back, people have been breeding seeds, you know, scientists, so that they produce more food, you know, bigger crops, for example, so that people have got more to eat. And surely they have also been breeding seeds that are going to be resistant to diseases and pests and things like that. And that this requires a lot of, you know, research and effort, and that big companies, you know, invest a lot of money in doing this, so that, but surely to make better seeds, I mean, don't they argue that these old traditional kind of seeds are a bit sort of weedy and, you know, and actually more likely to be prone to diseases rather than their ones, which they've tested, you know, they grow thousands of different ones and then they pick the one that doesn't get the disease, and then they can market that. And isn't that sort of why that they do that? And that, and isn't the whole thing about the kind of the European Union seed register? So you're not really supposed to sell seeds that aren't on this register. Isn't that because only, you know, they have to get past these tests to show that they're resistant to diseases and they're not going to, you know, cause problems or, you know, to the environment? Isn't that what the register's for? And so isn't all this seed collecting seeds going to be do more harm than good? And surely the company should be encouraged, you know, to do all the scientific research and breeding and monitoring and restricting of the varieties so that only the proper, good, scientifically made ones will be used. What do you say to that, then?
So what do I say to that? I say that, of course, what we're doing is not going to stop the seed companies from doing what they're doing, and they are going to keep developing new seeds and with resistance to this and that. The problem, partly with that, is that they will create seeds which are resistant to one thing, but they might well lose some capacity in that range of plants to be resistant to something else, which hasn't happened for a while, say, but which in the kinds of seeds which are pollinated in an open way, some of that resistance will be there still. For example, the problem with the ash trees at the moment, because ash trees freely propagate themselves around the countryside, somewhere there will be ash trees that are resistant to this problem that's assaulting them at the moment. If, on the other hand, ash trees had been developed as F1 hybrid type trees with a certain, they might have been developed with the quality of growing very fast, for example, by a seed company. And so all the ash trees that are developed in that way will grow extremely fast, and that would be wonderful. But the fact that they've been developed in that way means that something in them which might have resisted a new threat may well have been lost. So I think it's not either or. It's not either or in these kinds of things. We need all these different things going on at once. But one of the things that really gets me about the seed companies is when they develop plants where the seeds cannot be kept by farmers and growers themselves, so that they have to keep coming back to the seed companies. And right, then maybe right. Those seeds require inputs of fertilizer or pesticide also bought from the big companies. And so the farmers are in thrall in that way. And that, this is where food sovereignty comes in.
Does that affect gardeners too, though? Because we should possibly be saying, I mean, there's two issues that I forgot to say before, is that if you're going to bring your seeds that you've saved, do they have to be organic, grown organically?
Well, of course, we can't specify because we can't prove. We do invite people, and most people who come to an event like this,
right,
they're not going to want to use pesticides and herbicides on their gardens and their allotments. So we trust that most people will bring organically grown seeds.
Right.
But, you know, there's not such a big difference between farming, agriculture and horticulture. I believe that it's true that most of the food in the world, I mean, more than 50%, is grown by smallholder farmers, people with a small amount of land that grow food for their family and their community around them. And these are the people who are most troubled by the kind of thing that I've been talking about, where the seed companies dominate the supply chain and make farmers have to buy in more things than are really necessary.
The other point that I just thought of there was that if someone has been growing a plant using seeds that they've bought that were developed by one of these big corporations, would it not be illegal for them to save the seed? Because you said that that's one of the issues, that some, you know, somewhere around the world, farmers, in fact, are, you know, are prosecuted for keeping the seeds that they've grown themselves. And but so would that not apply to a gardener, say, here, if they'd grown a, you know?
It might well. But do you know, when it comes to illegality, yes, what about the big corporations who go to countries like India, find rice varieties that have been bred by farmers over thousands of years?
Yes.
But because the companies find a way to describe those seeds, yes, they then put them on some kind of register and claim intellectual property rights. You can hear that it gets me quite upset, this sort of matter.
Because
we have illegality on a grand scale. If what we're doing may just dip under the radar a little, so be it.
Okay. Well, obviously, you know, there are lots and lots of seeds that and plants that you can grow and swap that are completely unaffected by any issue like that.
Yes. And, so, and even in the European new directives, swapping seeds amongst gardeners for non-commercial use is permitted. There's been a great battle over that. And I believe the battle has been won and that these kinds of seed swaps are permitted with seeds of heritage varieties that are not on the different registers. It costs a fortune to put seeds on these registers, you know. And yes, of course, some of the old varieties have been bettered. But that goes on all the time. And we need to just keep using all the different varieties and growing as best we can.
I mean, another thing is that if all plants are the same, if their kind of genetic, you know, makeup is been reduced to a very small kind,
yes,
of makeup, then if there's a sort of pest or disease that attacks that plant, and that, you know, could be completely wiped out.
Yes.
Whereas if there's a variety of genetic material in all the different plants done by seed swapping and mixing and everything, then things may well be more resistant. At least, you know, if there's a pest comes along, it won't eat everything.
Exactly. That, yes, is exactly the point.
Right. Well, Pat Bowen, thank you very much. Don't go away quite yet. After we hear another quick tune, then just give us some more details about the CD Sunday event itself and how people can go and also how they can find out more. And even possibly how people can be involved, if not this year, but for next year. I'm going to play a tune by a Brighton singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist musician. She's called Fifi Dewey. And this is two short tunes called This Way and Sky.
Always tell me. shoo. The familiar sounds lock us to the ground. It's impossible now to imagine me and you, but my heart is so still, but my feet run along, running away from you. Even though the sky was bright, we shifted our eyes, never believed that we could
I'm just thinking, why on earth isn't Fifi Dewey the big pop star? That's absolutely brilliant. It's all right, Pat and Chris are chatting. There you go, we've made connections here on the One World Community Show. But no, Fifi Dewey, that's absolutely brilliant. That was called This Way and then Sky afterwards. And I really, really like that. You can check out more Fifi Dewey news and information at her Facebook, which is facebook.com/Fifi, F-I-F-I, .DEWEY. And so, well, let's just finish up a last bit of information about the CD Sunday. So, Pat, when is it and how do you get there and how much does it cost and all that?
Right, it's at Brighton Corn Exchange next Sunday, that's the 3rd of February. Opens at 10 o'clock, it's good to get there early, goes on till 4:30. So any of the buses that go through the centre of Brighton will get you there. It's £3 entry, £2 concession, children go free. There'll be a cafe, there'll be talks, there'll be more than 50 stalls and the big seed swap and lots of delights.
And if you've got seeds, you put them in a little packet. Does it have to be any size or any particular way?
You think in terms of what would be an amount that you might want yourself if you were just going to grow a row or two.
Right.
And label them, of course, and with where you grew them and the date. There's a possibility of doing that when you get there. If you bring them in a big paper bag, there's a table where you can sit down and do that when you get there if you want to.
OK, well, absolutely wonderful then. Well, Pat Bowen from CD Sunday, thank you very much. And I will look forward to CD Sunday on the 3rd of February.
Thank you very much.
And the website, what was it?
www.cdsunday.org.
Oh, hang on a minute. It's cdsunday.org.
Oh, thank you very much, Donald.
Well, thank you very much. Well, so there you go. Community seed swapping in Brighton, going from strength to strength. Oh, and we should say, we're not going to mention that. But, we're going to talk to Chris Todd now. Chris Todd from the Brighton Biosphere Partnership. Is it just Brighton or is it Brighton, Hove and Lewes, did I read on the press release?
It's the Brighton, Hove and Lewes Downs Biosphere Partnership, which is a bit of a mouthful, so it often gets abbreviated to just the Biosphere Partnership.
And you're launching some kind of, I don't know, what sort of a thing is happening on Monday?
We're launching the consultation. We've got a three-month consultation coming up, asking people about the Biosphere project. We're giving people information, whether they think our objectives, our aims are the right things to be looking at, and asking people for information about their local area. You know, what do they value? What would they like to see improved, changed, and whatever? And any other comments in general that they want to have. But to explain about the area basically is between the River Ader in the west,
right,
around Shoreham,
right,
to the River Ouse, and including Lewes and the sort of Mount Caburn area as well. So it includes Newhaven, Peacehaven, Telscombe, Lewes, and the villages to the north of the Downs as well in the national park generally.
Now, we were kind of joking in a light-hearted way before the show about what a biosphere is and thinking about The Simpsons. And I was asking, does it involve building a big dome over anywhere? And that would be one big dome if it was going to cover all of those places from New Haven to Seaford and the Downs. Presumably it's not going to be like that.
Not including Seaford, but... Yeah.
Up to the Ada, then. Shoreham. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's going to be no big dome, is there?
There's going to be no big dome. I'm sorry to disappoint people, but no. It's not like the Eden Project either.
Right.
No, the term biosphere basically is sort of the living skin of the earth, if you like. It's the bit where we, you know, grow our food in the ground, we breathe the air, and we sort of fish and swim in the sea. It's that very thin layer where all of life exists on the earth. And a biosphere reserve is an international... sort of designation, it's more like an accolade, if you like, for having a good environment and a good way of looking after that environment. And it's about improving the human sort of natural interaction. So you can have a good natural environment, but you also have a healthy human environment. It's not about stopping people doing things, it's about facilitating good ways of living.
And this is a proposal, your partnership... I'd presumably different groups and individuals have come together to try and achieve the biosphere status, could you say?
That's right.
For our area.
Yeah, the status is awarded by UNESCO, which is the United Nations body. And it is the only sort of international accreditation at this level for... sort of recognising high-value environments.
Environmental quality. And what, I mean, are there any already in existence around the world?
Yeah, there's some about 600.
Ooh, that's lots. Blimey. Are there any others, any in the UK yet?
Yes, there are six in the UK at the moment.
And really?
Three that are active. One is in North Devon, one is the Duffy Estuary in Wales, and one is up around Galloway in Scotland.
Right.
So there are not many, and not many that are particularly active. But we feel that we've got a very good chance. The area that we've got is quite... It's small in terms of some biospheres internationally, but it's roughly about the size of the Isle of Wight, to give people a sort of an idea that they might be able to picture a bit more. And, you know, it's about improving how we interact with the natural environment and making things work better. It's not about stopping people doing things. And we're going for that... designation, that accreditation in September. We're putting our bid in, but to do that we need to talk to the community first and ask them about their opinion and also to find out a bit more about the local environment, because you know, you can't be everywhere, and a lot of people, as we've heard with the CD Sunday, there's a lot of volunteers effort goes into that. There's an awful lot of people in and around our area who volunteer, help out, whether it's going on a big bash with the National Trust on the Downs, or whether it's helping with a local park or the local woodland. You know, a lot of people are involved with their quite intimately with their local environment, and they know what's going on best quite often than the officials centrally. And the partnership is a very broad church. It's got local authorities, it's got the National Park Authority, it's got people like Sussex Wildlife Trust, National Trust, RSPB, it's got the two universities on board. People like my group, like Friends of the Earth. So it's quite a good mix of organisations and people.
Chris, it sounds absolutely brilliant and fascinating and interesting. I can think of all kinds of things to ask you. But in the meantime, let's pause there for a moment and we can then talk about, well, exactly, you know, how is UNESCO going to decide whether we're a biosphere worthy or not? And, you know, and what how can you know, make it happen? How can anyone join in? And, you know, and what are the chances? After, we have another bit of music. So Chris Todd from Royal Friends of the Earth and the Brighton and Hove and...
Lewis Downs Biosphere Partnership.
Biosphere Partnership. Thank you very much so far. And thank you for coming down to the Running World Community Show. We'll talk about the biosphere bid for our local area after we hear some more music. Now, I said I was going to play music from around the world and I am going to try, and well, perhaps I'm going to cover two bases at once here, A lot of people in England tend to sneer at music from Europe. Not all music from Europe, but quite a bit. And also, then again, you know, the whole thing of music from around the world seems to tends to all be lumped in together as world music. But funnily enough, people in Europe tend to be a lot more kind of, you know, open to music from around the world than we do. For example, was it last year or the year before? I can't remember exactly, but a pop song from Brazil was number one in about 11 European countries. I don't think it even got into the UK charts at all. It was called I Suchi Pego, and the version that was a big hit was by a certain Michael or Michel Tello from Brazil. There have been lots of cover versions. And anyway, I discovered on the internet a brilliant cover version of it. Now, here's another thing. If you think, who was the first female musician from Europe to achieve 1 billion YouTube hits? 1 billion, that's quite a lot. Someone you've probably never heard of. She's called Ina. Well, actually, she's from Romania. She has had a few top 20 hits in the UK, mostly for her dance pop. But anyway, I think Ina is great. And she did a cover version of this Brazilian pop tune, and it's called, this is her live version of I Suchi Pego.
Thank you very much. Now I want to be very clear. This is not my song, but I love it.
Fabulous Ina from Romania with I Suchi Pego, her cover of the big European hit from Brazil, sung by Michel Tello, although written by some other people. Anyway, that was a sort of massive, massive song. Anyway, and Ina's version, I think, was really very good. Some people say she can't sing, and admittedly, on her other tunes, she is quite auto-tuned, which is that automatic, you know, thing that makes you sing in tune. But there she wasn't. That was live, seemingly live on telly. And brilliant it was too. And everyone, they seem to do a really good tele program in Romania as well, strangely enough. Worth looking up on YouTube for that. Also, yes, Ina, good, well done, Ina. First European female musician to have 1 billion hits on YouTube. That's 1 billion. She's up there with the rest of them. So, well, I recommend that. So more music of a foreign and weird variety coming up on the show. But now we're talking to Chris Todd. Chris, so the Biosphere bid is going to be put in September.
That's right.
And it's going to be judged by UNESCO. What does that mean? Are they going to be coming around and looking at our environment and seeing if it's up to scratch? I mean, but what are they going to say? I mean, you know, surely there's lots of environmental problems around these parts. Is there not? Is there not lots of sort of chemical farming and all that kind of thing going along on around here?
There's all sorts of environmental problems everywhere. And I think...
What about the incinerator down at New Haven? Isn't that a problem?
Not necessarily terribly healthy, no. But it's about actually not about them coming and having a look as such in a big sort of committee. They'll all come down in September and have it
with their Wellington boots on.
No, that's right. No, I mean UNESCO is from the United Nations. It has national committees in the different countries around the world. And so we've been working very closely with the UK committee. And if they don't feel that we've got a good enough bid, then it won't go forward. It has to be signed off by the government as well. And then it goes to Paris, where they decide internationally whether to designate it or not. But I think the importance of it is because it's focused, although it is its focus, its core area has to be around the natural environment, about... nationally and internationally important wildlife sites, such as we have up on the Downs around Castle Hill, for example, and Lewis Downs. It also includes the urban areas, and quite substantial urban areas in our case. Now, by the way the world is going, more and more people are going to end up living in urban areas. In fact, the vast majority, I think by 2050, it's something like 80% of the world's population are envisaged will be living in cities. And therefore, it's really important that we get the environment within the cities right. And so actually, Brighton and Hove and Lewes and the other areas included could actually be at the forefront of pushing that sort of agenda, that environmental agenda, to improve the people's quality of life, basically.
Well, what kind of things would they be doing? Is that about encouraging people to do organic gardening? Is that about having more trees? Or would it possibly be about improving the air quality? I mean, is it just the natural growing environment, or is it more about other things?
It's about everything, really. Right. Everything that involves life. It can touch on air quality, because that has an impact on human health. It also actually impacts on growing. And you know, the viability of, you know, the crops that you get, and the quantity of the crops that you can get, but it also relates to the sea. This actually links up into sea. We include part of the coast.
Ah, oh, sorry, I don't mean to say that, but I'm just thinking that's good. Now, does that mean then what, preserving, you know, sort of stopping overfishing or gravel extraction?
Those
things go on.
Those things go on, and it's not about, as I said before, it's not about stopping things happening. It's about allowing society and people to develop, but trying to steer that development in a sustainable way. It's a horrible word.
Yes, yes.
But in a way that has minimal impact on the environment, but maximum benefit sort of economically and socially. And potentially you can have some environmental benefit, because if we can help the natural environment, quite often it helps us. People don't necessarily see that in a way, but if you look at, we're dependent on the natural environment for our water, for example. Now, what we throw on the land, whether it's what the farmers put on the fields or what we within the cities and towns throw, either chuck down the drains or throw in our garden, whether it's antifreeze or oil, which we shouldn't be doing, but I'm sure, you know, and other chemicals, paint and all sorts of stuff gets chucked away and not properly disposed of. That will percolate down and through into the chalk aquifer. That means that when we're southern water is then pumping the water up, or southeast water, to get the water out for us to pass back up to us to drink, it's full of these chemicals. It then has to spend a lot of money taking these chemicals out of the water. Now, if we can make people aware of those linkages and that cycle, and reduce the pollution that goes into the chalk aquifer, then ultimately in the long term it benefits us economically, because Southern Water won't be having to take those chemicals out of the water before they give it, pass it back to us, so they won't have to be spending that money on these purification plants, and therefore their bills to us hopefully should be lower.
Now, is this likely to happen, this thing that you're talking about there,
in terms of the improving the water?
Yes.
I think that there are elements already, people are looking at those already, and in fact, you know, people are looking at lots of things already, and the biosphere isn't about taking over any of that work, it's about drawing it together and seeing what can we do better and what can we learn. And quite often a lot of these things can be trials, you know, that you get a 2 or 3 year grant to try something out or do something, and then it sort of quietly fades away. Now, what the biosphere wants to try and do is make sure, actually, if those trials succeed, how do we make them permanent? Because it's pointless, you know. Government is very fond of the latest gimmick, the latest trial. But actually what we need as a society are sort of much longer term solutions. So that's what the biosphere is trying to embed those successful projects into longer term solutions.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Chris, tell us about, just at the last minute again, about sort of how people maybe can get involved and support this, either through, you know, the partnership generally or through some other organisation. And again, you know, a bit more about it, but after we hear another quick bit of music. Now, that was Chris Todd from the Biosphere Partnership, which has got a longer name, but also from the Friends of the Earth. Maybe you could mention Friends of the Earth too. Here, though, is another bit of weird foreign music, and I'm not sure. I can't remember where this is from. I'll have to look that up. This is a certain Jimmy Bad Boy, and this is a song called Movimiento Sabroso.
Ella cuando baila se suele mover con un movimiento sabroso. Ya todos los hombres pueden enloquecer con un movimiento sabroso. Ella cuando baila lo suele hacer con un movimiento sabroso. Y si ella sigue bailando voy a enloquecer con un movimiento sabroso. Esa chica cuando baila tiene un no sé qué. A veces estoy pensando que voy a enloquecer. La forma en que lo hace, ella lo hace bien cruel, y es por eso que los hombres ya la quieren tener. A nadie en este mundo yo he vuelto a ver con la misma figura que tiene esa mujer. A veces me pregunto cómo lo puede hacer. Con ella quiero bailar pegadito el reggae. Ella cuando baila se suele mover con un movimiento sabroso. Ya todos los hombres pueden enloquecer con un movimiento sabroso. Ella cuando baila lo suele hacer con un movimiento sabroso. Y si ella sigue bailando voy a enloquecer con un movimiento sabroso. La luna es testigo todas las noches cuando de repente en mi sueño apareces. Mi corazón siente que te conoce porque mucha falta tú me haces, baby. La luna es testigo todas las noches cuando de repente en mi sueño apareces. Mi corazón siente que te conoce porque mucha falta tú me haces, baby. Cuando baila se suele mover con un movimiento sabroso. Ya todos los hombres pueden enloquecer con un movimiento sabroso.
Ah, brilliant. Jimmy Bad Boy with a tune called Movimiento Sabroso. I'm not actually sure what that means. Presumably some kind of movement. I didn't manage to find out where he's from either. He might be from Panama. He's not from one of the obvious kind of countries. But anyway, that, I rather like that. I'm sure if you look up, you could possibly find it. I did see once where he's from, but I can't remember. It might be Panama. Anyway, this is the One World Community Show, and we're talking to Chris Todd. Now, Chris, is there any way that the listener at home can help with this biosphere bid, or is it all, like, you know, being taken care of by all the different organisations that are involved? I mean, apart from your own Friends of the Earth and the South Downs National Park people, who else is in it, in on this bid?
Well, we've got all the local authorities around. So we've got Brighton Hove City Council, Lewes District Council, Mid Sussex District Council, Horsham District Council, and Ada District Council, National Park Authority, the Sussex Inshore Fisheries and Conservation Authority, Natural England Environment Agency, Sussex Wildlife Trust. This is like a test, isn't it?
Yes. Have you missed one out?
I haven't forgot that yet. University of Sussex and the University of Brighton.
Yes.
Community Voluntary Sector Forum.
Yep.
Ourselves. And I'll probably miss somebody, but I'm sure I apologise if I have.
Chris, we've got to go. It's all been so interesting, but we've got to go now. But is there any way people can help? Can they sort of join in?
Yes, you can. We've got a roadshow that's going around, along with a photo exhibition, over the next 3 months, all around different community centres and village halls in and around the area, where you can pick up a leaflet. You can either fill it in and post it on the table or at the stall, or you can go online at www.biospherehere, that's all one word, .org.uk, and you can find all the material information about what's going on, and you can find the link to respond to the consultation, and you can also, if you want to, become a friend of the Biosphere, which means we'll keep you up to date with information and such like. And if you're going along to CD Sunday, you should see us there on Sunday.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much for being on the One World Community Show. I'm Donald Shire. I'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm going to leave you with a tune by a great Brighton band called Rotate. They're playing on Wednesday night at a night called Off the Cuff. It's at the Pull and Pump pub, which is just off Western Road, a bit long from Churchill Square. It's for 8 o'clock. It is including also Louise Levitt, Bella Cardassius, Fool's Knowledge and Hannah Birchall. So thank you very much for listening. And here is Rotate with a song from their album, and this is called Swallow Your Pride.
Bye.